God is faithful. God is generous, abounding. You cannot measure the generosity of God. Very end of that passage, it tells us that we are too numerous to be counted. Abraham received that promise when God called Abraham out of all that he knew. He lived with his family, with his kindred, his brothers, his sisters, his father. And all of a sudden, he gets a word from the Lord. Abraham, pack up your things. I will take you to this land that I will show you. And Abraham did. Abraham did what the Lord God asked of him. And every time God asked Abraham to do something, he was obedient in what God asked. And in Hebrews, we find that God counts him as righteous because of his obedience, because he was obedient out of faith. In the letter to James, which is Rusty's favorite book now, in the book of James, James tells us that faith without works is dead. That our obedience to what God asks us to do is an expression of our faith. So when we serve, it is an expression of our faith. And it is an expression of who God is, the living God, the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings, that spirit that dwells within us. It is an expression of who God is when we serve. This passage tells us, be obedient, not because that's what God wants from you, because that's what God wants for you, because it is for your own well-being. Did you catch that in the passage? This is for your own well-being. To love your God, and I love how the writer has joined these two, love your God and serve with all your heart and soul. Did you pick that up? That intertwining of that language. When Jesus is asked, what are the two most important laws? Jesus responds, you know this, love your Lord your God with all your heart, your mind, your soul, your strength. And the second one is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. All the law, all the prophets, everything that has ever been written, everything that has been expressed that has come from God is based on these two laws. Everything. And we are to live those laws out to be a tangible expression of who God is through our acts of service. So within the last couple of weeks in October, we've been looking at that vow that most of you made when you joined this church. I will be faithful to this congregation with my prayers, my presence, my gifts, my service, and my witness. And we went through all of those today as service. We didn't go through presence because I felt like you were already present, right? And there was only 4 Sundays, so I only needed 4. So we've looked at prayers. And you were encouraged to pray for your church, for your staff, for your clergy, for the future of the United Methodist Church, whatever God laid on your heart. We talked about gifts, and we prepared for this Sunday to give our pledge cards and why it's important to be generous people. Last Sunday was very special because you got to hear stories of witness. You got to hear some young voices tell their own faith stories, which was oh so very powerful. I'm so very proud of every single one of them. But I hope that encouraged you to see their courage to share their story, that encouraged you to go out and share your story with someone else. and to take pride in those voices that you heard, because those are voices that for the most part were raised in this church, that you have invested in, that through your service, through your generosity, through your prayers, for your very presence of being here, through the very witness of who you are, you have been a part of their faith story, which is really very exciting. And it's something that we pass on our faith from generation to generation. But it needs to be a living faith, a faith that is at work in you, is at work in your family, that it is at work in your jobs, that it is at work in the community in which you live, which means that you are the representative of Christ wherever you go, that you are the hands and feet of Christ, that you are an expression of God's love and God's grace wherever you are, bringing the kingdom of God wherever you go. We get to practice this in lots of ways. We get to practice it out in community. The Lions Club, as Susie told me, was just, we serve. I'm a part of Rotary, which is service above self. And I think Susie would probably say the same about the Lions. I'm in the Rotary because service to me is extremely important. I like that's their motto. That's why they exist internationally and locally. But also within the congregation, these opportunities to serve. Serving, just like generosity, just like prayer, just like giving your witness, just like being present in Bible studies and worship, they are indicators of your spiritual health. The more that these indicators flow out of you and you're hitting the mark, most likely, the more spiritually healthy you are. What I find intriguing, going back to generosity for a minute, as we are growing spiritually, generosity is usually the last thing we develop in our spiritual health. But as we, if we do not tend to our spiritual well-being and our spiritual health may begin to dwindle, generosity is oftentimes the first thing to go. Service has always been extremely important to the body of believers and the younger generations that are coming up. Service is extremely important to them. In fact, service is one of the primary things that they will do when coming into a church. They're more interesting in serving than they are giving or being present, which is interesting. It's different for different generations, but we're all called to serve to represent Christ to their fullest. So we do that in community, we do that in our families, we do that at our job, we do this here in-house, we get to practice service in-house. And there's lots of opportunities, and I wanted to share some of those opportunities with you today. Y'all look so excited. So you heard one of them today, to be a part of Trunk or Treat, which is a lot of fun. It's very joy-filled to be a part of Trunk or Treat. So here's a few. This was not in your bulletin, but it is out on the table where the Trunk or Treat sign-up is and some other sign-ups, things that you are invited to be a part of to serve. So if you do not have a place of service yet, you are more than welcome to check these out. And maybe as I name these and explain some of these, you might think, oh, I could do that. I might be able to do that. Someone, even after the service, felt God calling them to share their own faith story within this congregation. So you better hope God holds you to maybe what's on the list, because he was not enjoying that call too much. All right, so congregational care, providing meals for families in need. Some of you have the gift of hospitality, like you love to cook and serve people. This, you don't even have to have them in your home. You cook the meal and you bring it to their house. Providing transportation for errands or medical appointments. This is the one thing that has probably been most frustrating to us, is we get a lot of calls for people needing help with transportation, and we really don't know who to turn to for that. And trying to, it is a need within our own church community. It's a need in the greater area. So if that's something that you're interested in, that's on here. Offering home communion to those who are unable to attend worship services. So next Sunday, every communion Sunday, you'll see a basket on the altar. It's not for decoration. It actually has purpose. It's holding the communion elements that will go out into community. And they're little cups of juice with a little wafer, and those are blessed alongside the elements that we partake of. And then individuals throughout the week will take those elements and bring them out to people who cannot be here on Sunday morning. This is a beautiful testament that we are one, that we are community, that even though you cannot be in worship with us, you are still a part of this Christian body. And so they partake from those elements that were blessed alongside ours. And it's an extension of our table. All right, sending birthday cards to church family. How many of you just get bills and junk mail in your mail? And when you get something personal, it's like so very exciting. We have one or two people who will send birthday cards, but can you imagine if we had a lot of people sending birthday cards, how precious and wonderful that would be, that one day a year we can bless someone and they will get all kinds of mail other than their bills and their junk to know that they are remembered and loved by their church family. So that's on here. Worship, serving in the sound booth to advance the slides and run the soundboard, training provided. So the McKnights are back there, our faithful McKnights, wave. We do provide training. It's not that hard. And you can look at their smiling faces. They don't look miserable back there. They look very happy and joy-filled to be serving. As far as we know, we want these people to serve, David. Stop that. All right, it's always the sound guy. Always a sound guy. But the media, doing the media slides is fairly easy. Once it's set up, all you have to do is hit a button and it advances the slides. It's really, really good. So if you pay attention in worship, which most of you should be doing, you should be able to do that job fairly easily, because all it is paying attention and hitting a button. So really all you're adding is hitting a button. Okay, so that's pretty easy. Serve communion four times a year at the 9:30 service, or at this service, any service. I will say serving communion is probably one of the most powerful experiences that you can have. If you have not yet had this experience, please, please take this opportunity. If you don't sign up for anything, sign up for that one, because it's just awesome to be able to extend the grace and love of God in these elements. You will be handed the juice. You'll either have the big cup or you'll have the tray with the little cups. And all you say is, this is the blood of Christ shed for you. And it is the most powerful, wonderful, beautiful experience. Outreach, helping with small repairs and yard work for local families and individuals in need. Some of you have participated in the Good Samaritan Ministries. Many of you participated during Servolution, which I can't wait for Servolution again, because that was a lot of fun. It's just getting dirty and sweaty and being the hands and feet of Christ and bettering somebody else's world. That's all it is, and lifting someone else's burden. Some of these folks that we're helping out are living with these burdens for months and years, not knowing how they're going to handle it, and all of a sudden a group comes in and takes care of it. And then we walk away. I can't tell you what a blessing, because it's not just about physical property. It's about the burdens of someone's heart and soul that they're carrying that we get to help out with. Be a Kids Hope mentor, prayer partner, or sponsor. Kids Hope is a new ministry that we've launched. Right now we have three mentors. To be a mentor is a huge commitment. It is 1 hour a week to be with that kid, to help them with homework, to be a friend to this child, to be someone who is a steady, dependable presence in their life. Because the children that are usually chosen to participate in this don't have that in anybody. And with this program, we see grades go up. We see an excitement in their eyes. So not just for a mentor, but you can be a prayer partner for a mentor. I would love to be a mentor, but they wouldn't let me be a mentor because they see how hectic my schedule is. But I'm a prayer partner for my mentor. So I'm praying during the time that my mentor and kid is meeting every week. And then are a sponsor, all right? And that's helping helping this with generosity with your finances. All right, youth, preparing dinner for the youth on Sunday evenings. Again, easily, if you like to cook, you don't even have to do it in your own house. You can bring the stuff and cook in our kitchen. And that way you don't have to clean your own kitchen. Or you can just order pizza for them or whatever you want to do for them. They are very, very, very appreciative. For some reason, kids like to eat. And, it's a good thing. It's a good thing. There's lots of ways to participate. Right now, nominations is meeting. Some of you have gotten a call from me saying, hey, you've been nominated to be on this committee. Which is always a fun time for you, I know. Another opportunity that's coming up is a long time ago, St. John's would write their own Advent and Lenten devotionals, which is really, really exciting. So we're going to do that this year. So we have to get on the ball because they need to be printed before Advent starts, which is the first Sunday in December. So I want to give you an example of what this is, because next week there's going to be cards with scriptures and dates that you can pick up. And when you pick it up, that means, and you bring it home, that means you decided to write that devotional for that day. So here's an example. It's from 2001, December 22nd, and this is what is written. I saw this in a children Advent book called Look Around the Stable. It's about the dove, which reminds me of peace and how the Holy Spirit should always be in our hearts. It goes like this. In the Bible, the dove is a symbol of peace, an indication that everything is the way it is supposed to be. The dove that Noah sent out from the ark returned with an olive branch in its beak. It was a sign that everything was all right again. At Jesus' baptism, the Holy Spirit descended upon him like a dove. While God's voice said the Heavenly Father was well pleased with Jesus, because Jesus came, everything was going to be all right again, and there was a sign of a dove. The Christmas angels sang about peace too, the message of a dove. Everything is going to be all right. Lord Jesus, send your Holy Spirit like a dove to fill our hearts with peace. Peggy Blizzard. I know. Isn't that neat? Peggy was a member here for a very, very long time, and she has since moved to Georgia, but it's good to hear her voice. So I hope I extend that invitation that maybe that might be a place for you to serve and write one of those devotionals. There's all kinds of opportunity, big and small, to show God's grace and love in the world. That passage told us that God cares for the widow and the orphan, that God loves the strangers in our midst. God loves, has a special heart for those who are suffering, who feel overwhelmed. There's a reason why the Beatitudes say, blessed are the poor in spirit, blessed are the meek, blessed are those who sorrow. There's a special place in God's heart for these individuals. And God works for their justice, and we are to be a part of that. We are to be an expression of God's love. God's It says that God loves the stranger, that he feeds and he clothes them. Because once the people of Israel were strangers in a strange land. But now that they remember once they were no people, but now they are God's people. I love that. Remember who God is. He is the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings. He is the great one true God that lives and dwells in you, that chose you to be Christ's representative in the world, that you get to carry out the expression of God's love and God's grace in the world. As we go out into community, as we live here in community together, we express our faith through our presence, our prayers, our gifts, our service, and our witness, so that we can always be an expression of a living faith that is alive and well, that is working for all people's good. A living expression of God's generosity, God's love, God's grace, God's forgiveness. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, as we get ready to sing our last hymn together,